The first reading is in Matthew 24, starting with verse 1. Then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, "Do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down." Now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to the tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all the nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. And pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been seen the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor shall ever be seen. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Then if anyone says to you, 'Look, here is the Christ,' or 'There,' do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand. Therefore, if they say to you, 'Look, he is in the desert,' do not go out, or 'Look, he is in the inner rooms,' do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together."
Thank you, Peter. Well, there are a lot of verses that we just read. A lot to cover in this morning's session. As a brief outline, you'll see we have the temple destroyed, and that would comprise verses 1 and 2. The signs of the times and the end of the age, that's verses 3 through 14. And finally, the great tribulation from verses 15 through 28, just as a general outline for us. Verses 1 and 2 will be the first one, and then the second and third are combined for verses 3 through 14. And then the Great Tribulation, starting with verse 15 through 28. We might ask ourselves, well, why take up this passage? Why take up a portion which some believe doesn't even apply to believers in this time period, meaning us, the church? And I think the simple answer is the very ones that the Lord is speaking to heard these words, and it didn't all apply to them either. And yet it did apply to them, because the teachings that the Lord gave to them in answer to their questions is for all believers in all time. The exhortations at the end, which we'll get in our last study, are for us as well. And so there's application for this. We need to understand God's purposes. That includes future events. This particular passage we read is often referred to as the Olivet Discourse. And unique to Matthew's Gospel, there are these sermons that the Lord Jesus has given and the Spirit of God has left for us, recorded for us. Perhaps the more famous one is the Sermon on the Mount in chapters 5 through 7. This particular discourse, called the Olivet Discourse, is unique in this. It's the longest answer that the Lord Jesus gave to a question. the longest answer, chapters 24 through 25, to a threefold question. And we'll just remark in verse 3, just to note that threefold question. They ask, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world, or the end of the age? What will be the sign of the end of the age? These were the threefold questions they asked in response to him revealing that the temple that they were so fond of, that temple that was rebuilt and the beautiful stones, was going to be torn asunder, destroyed. And this was not something that they had thought possible, because their mindset at that time was that the Lord was going to establish his kingdom right then. They did not have in their thinking a cross, a grave, a resurrection, an ascension, the throne of God, and a return of the Lord Jesus. That was not in their thoughts. Their thoughts were a temple, a glorious kingdom, Christ reigning as king. And he's now explaining, no, this temple is going to be destroyed. And that was something that would happen in most of their lifetimes. I say most of them because Judas committed suicide and took his life after the Lord was betrayed by him. And James was a martyr, so he was not able to see this temple destroyed. But the others, for the most part, who heard the Lord's word, saw that first fulfillment of the temple being destroyed. And sure enough, as that temple was destroyed, so the truths that he revealed to them regarding his coming and the end of the age. Now notice, they did not ask, because it wasn't on their thoughts, what shall be the sign of thy coming for us? They did not ask that question. And you may ask the question, well, where is the coming for us in Matthew 24? And the answer is that the Lord did not discuss that particular topic. It wasn't even asked of him, so he did not discuss that. This is found in other passages in the New Testament. After the church was formed, it is revealed through the Apostle Paul, and the Spirit of God records it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 of what we call the rapture. And this is the Lord Jesus coming for us. Not coming with us, but coming for us. And so you will not find the rapture in Matthew 24. However, it may be that it's found in between verse 3 and 4, or perhaps in between verse 8 and 9. It may be then, but we cannot say, because there is no sign expected for the rapture. The other thing is that Matthew 24 and 25 do not discuss the millennial reign of our Lord or the day of God, that final day. We have to turn to passages like 2 Peter or 1 Corinthians 15 to learn of those truths. And so he answers these questions. The Lord Jesus answers these specific questions. Now, another purpose of taking this topic up is that we are living in a day when there are quite a number of teachings being brought about. Teachings that are setting aside really what the Lord tells us here. And predictions, for example, we can know the day or hour when the Lord's coming, and we can actually tell you when it's going to happen. There are many that are doing this. And this we need to be awakened to is not correct. And we can go into that in our third second study, No Man Knows the Day or the Hour. And at the same time, we need to have a pattern, a form of sound words as we look through these passages. We have lived through a difficult time period in the last year, and we can go past maybe even the last 20 or so years. When we look at things changing around us, and perhaps we're all sensing the Lord's coming is near. And I think of Romans 13. The Lord's coming is nearer today than when we first believed. Romans chapter 13. And that coming for us, beloved, is the rapture, when he will take us to be with us. And we will be spared the tribulation that's discussed here. But let's go through these verses, and may the Lord help us as we glean from them. What we have in the first portion is the birth pangs, the sorrows, and we can go through them. Some of those we may actually see begin to accelerate even before the Lord raptures us out of here. And then we see really a defining moment in the chapter is verse 15, when this is something that we'll look at perhaps in Daniel and other portions to understand what that means in verse 15, the abomination of desolation. So once again, please use the microphone if you have something to share.